Greetings, happy crossover Wednesday here on the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm Corbin Smith of Locked On Seahawks, along with Gino Camilleri of Locked On Eagles, ready to break down this weekend's upcoming wildcard rematch in Philadelphia. Now for your lead story here on the Locked On Podcast Network, we have to open the discussion looking at the roster attrition that both of these teams continue to deal with. Gino, the Eagles have been plagued by injuries all season long. The last month, though, has been especially brutal for the Seahawks. The hits just keep coming for both teams.
Yeah, I said before this matchup that I think Seattle would give us the biggest, I wouldn't say the biggest test. I think San Fran would be tougher, but it would give us the ability to compete in one playoff game, because who knows what's going to happen with the roster that we have right now. I mean, we could lose 2 to 3 more players. So that's the rate we're going with the 13 players that we have on IR right now. But coming back to Philly a second time and beating us again, it's going to be a tough task. That place gets rocking in the playoffs, but man, Russ has had our number. I think Pete Carroll's 5-0 against Philly, so this is one game that I do think we have a chance to compete, but in the back of my mind, it's Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll in the playoffs, and it just scares the living daylights out of me.
I didn't think I'd be saying this at this point, because you and I were talking about it before the show. The Seahawks were much healthier than the Eagles when these two teams played in Week 12, but the Seahawks now have 18, and I think it's going to be 19 players here in just a matter of hours. I could see a move being made here today and being released, but they could have 18 or 19 players on injured reserve going into this game. So the Eagles may have 13. The Seahawks actually have 19. Mm-hmm. They have been ravaged by injuries this month, especially in the backfield. Lost Chris Carson, Rashad Penny to season-ending injuries. CJ Procise, I guess I'm just not surprised. The guy's been on IR to end every season of his NFL career. But Carson and Penny losing those guys a big blow. And then this week, they lose Michael Kendricks. Eagles fans are very familiar with him. He tears his ACL against the 49ers on Sunday night. Reserve lineman Ethan Posick going on IR as well with a core injury. Posick, obviously a depth guy, losing him hurts from a depth perspective, but the Kendricks loss, I think, is a bigger deal than a lot of fans are realizing, because he was fourth on the team with 71 tackles this year. He did miss some tackles this season, but he is their best blitzing linebacker. He's helped the fact their pass rush hasn't been very good this year, blitzing off the edge. He's been able to get some hits on quarterbacks, get some sacks. He has been one of their more important, versatile players, and now they're going to be going into the playoffs without him. That puts a lot on the plate of third-round pick Cody Barton to replace him, and maybe it'll force the Seahawks to run more nickel, which for the Eagles, you're thinking, maybe that gives us a little better opportunity to be able to run the football against this team as well.
That's how we're going to have to make our money, because right now we have wide receivers who are named J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, who's a good player in his own right. I was a big fan of him coming out of the draft, but he's been banged up the last couple weeks. He couldn't plant off of his right foot, so he was held out of last game from really running any routes. They have Greg Ward, former AAF standout, San Antonio Commander, who's now our leading receiver at this point in time. I heard today he's tied for 10th in the month of December with catches. So coming into the season, if you would have told me that Greg Ward would be our number one receiver, a guy who was on the practice squad and was cut 3 times by this team prior to this year, I would have told you that you were crazy. And now we're relying on guys like Deontay Burnett. We just signed our former 5th-round pick that we ended up cutting this preseason in Shelton Gibson today. It's just a carousel of players coming through the doors in Philadelphia. But the one thing that this team has is a great coach and a great quarterback, and that's what's keeping this team on the tracks. I mean, as long as you have Doug Peterson, and he used the phrase the new norm after they won the Super Bowl, the new norm is facing adversity with Doug Peterson. Since they've won the Super Bowl, they've had two of the most injury-plagued rosters in the last 2 seasons, and they still have found a way to get to the playoffs. They're a team that, when they get there, they always have a chance, I feel, and they've been in this situation before. I mean, it's tough in 2017. You end up winning the Super Bowl after your MVP caliber quarterback goes down in the game that you clinch the number one seed, and you somehow get a team with Nick Foles ready to go. You go and win 3 straight games. Then you 2018, you're one catch away from being in the NFC Championship game. Here we are again. You're going up against a banged up Seattle team. You have a banged up Philly team, but right now they have the hot hand. Guys are playing, they're having fun. They got young guys like Boston Scott and Greg Ward, and on the other side of the ball on defense, you have Cravon LeBlanc, who's now back healthy, and Sidney Jones, a guy who's been up and down the ladder of the depth chart at cornerback, who's a healthy scratch a couple weeks ago, has come out and now made three game-saving plays in the last four games. So it's a different unit than what we saw the last time we played you guys, and I'm pretty sure I used the exact quote saying, if we don't move the ball against Seattle, we should pack our bags, and I don't even see the playoffs as an option. The team that we saw in Week 12 versus the team that's playing in Philly right now, it's two completely different units. This team looks juiced up. They're playing hard. They're hitting hard. They're actually faster on offense, which is unbelievable to see because they were very slow around the middle of the season. You saw it in that Seattle game. They really couldn't get anything going. It's a different unit that I have a lot more trust in than I did about a month and a half ago.
And yet, they've still got some new injuries they're dealing with. Who knows if Zach Ertz is going to be available. He still hasn't been cleared for contact from what I was reading here a little bit ago. And he's one of their primary weapons, especially with all the receivers they've got out. Lane Johnson, his status is still up in the air. Brandon Brooks, their star guard, is now on injured reserve, and he's out. So, it's like I said, both these teams, the hits just keep coming. Seattle does have a chance to get Quandre Diggs, their stud safety, back, as well as Jadeveon Clowney. He actually played against the 49ers. Sounds like he's going to be playing in this game. Clowney did not play in that first matchup in Week 12. So, certainly, both teams have some guys they've filtered in that have gotten a little bit of experience here. Running back Travis Homer now for the Seahawks, filling in for Chris Carson and Rashad Penny. And the Eagles obviously have their young receivers they're working with. So for not being that long ago since these guys played, there are going to be a lot of drastic differences on both rosters. And the Eagles have won four straight. The Seahawks have lost three of their last four. So you got two teams going in different directions, but they're both very banged up. Curious to see how this matchup is going to play out at Lincoln Financial Field. When we return, Gino and I are going to start dissecting this upcoming matchup. We'll look at the Eagles offense against the Seahawks defense. Don't go away. You're listening to Crossover Wednesday here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Welcome back to Crossover Wednesday here on the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm Corbin Smith of Locked On Seahawks, along with Gino Camilleri of Locked On Eagles, and we're going to continue breaking down this upcoming wildcard matchup between the Eagles and the Seahawks. We're going to start off looking at the Eagles offense. Carson Wentz and company, they've been flying pretty high the last 4 weeks, four straight wins for Philadelphia. Seattle's defense, on the flip side, has not played near as well the last couple weeks since Quandre Diggs went down with a high ankle sprain. They are hoping he's going to be available to play this weekend. Diggs himself today said we will see, but he is expected to practice today. That's good news for the Seahawks. Gino, looking at this rematch here, this is the first thing that jumped out to me. You started to kind of dive into it a little bit last quarter, but now we can dive into more details. Seattle picked off Carson Wentz twice, forced three fumbles in the first matchup. Since then, the Eagles have really found some traction, winning four straight games, 10 touchdowns for Wentz, just one interception in those last five games, including that loss to the Dolphins 5 games ago that looked like it spelled the end of the season for them, but they've won four straight. Wentz is averaging 300 yards passing per game. No Alshon Jeffery, no DeSean Jackson. How in the hell is he doing this?
It seems to be that when injuries occur with this offense, they just simplify things and make it easier for the quarterbacks. And they did that in 2017 with Nick Foles when they really simplified things from what they gave Carson. They did it again in 18 with Foles, and now they're doing it with once again. They're playing into the hand that he should be playing. He should be getting out of the pocket. He should be using his athletic ability to fake out the defense. You get him outside of the pocket, you get him on runs. He's been using his legs to gain first downs. It's really been the Carson Wentz show the last 4 weeks. He's been near flawless. I don't believe you will get 5 turnovers again from Carson Wentz. I think that would be tough to do. I mean, with those fumbles and the interceptions, it's going to be tough. I do not see him playing as bad of a game as he did the first time against Seattle. The last time I said that was against Dallas when he had an absolutely atrocious first game against the Cowboys, and he comes back with a stellar performance and really allowed them to have a chance to win this division. But man, this offense is cooking now. Doug Peterson, he's getting things going, even with a banged up offensive line. It'll be a tough task to run the ball if you have Halapuli Vadi Vaitai at right tackle and Matt Pryor at right guard with Jadeveon Clowney coming back healthy. I would really much like to see a Lane Johnson come in there. It would make me a little more at ease than if those two guys were there. But, man, they're just getting the guys involved in the right areas of the field. Greg Ward has come on and been somebody that just can beat zone coverage and create separation. They bring a guy, Deontay Burnett, onto the team last week. He has a big 50-plus yard catch for this team. Josh Perkins, who is their third tight end now, he had a big touchdown catch. They're just getting production out of players you didn't think would have production before. And the main guy that they got production out of is Boston Scott, a player that was on the practice squad of the Saints last year. The Eagles signed him and has really been a perfect number two to Miles Sanders. And Jordan Howard, who came back last week after 6 weeks of being out from a, quote, a stinger, really didn't do much on offense. So I truly believe that if Miles Sanders can go, it's going to be Miles Sanders and Boston Scott again. And the great thing about that is, I tweeted this out the other day, that Boston Scott finished with a 22.8% DVOA rushing the football, and he finished 7th in receiving with a 29.5% DVOA. So you now have players that are efficient in getting the football down the field and using their explosiveness. You're not going to see a slow offense like you saw the last time. They really couldn't move the football on Seattle one way or another. It was just bad all around. Wentz just did not look good. They couldn't get the running game going that well. I truly believe you will see a lot of two tight end sets regardless of Zach Ertz's playing. They'll get Josh Perkins in 12 personnel. They did it last week. I don't know what the receiver situation is going to be if Arthega Whiteside is healthy, but Greg Ward is going to be the staple slot receiver. It's just who's going to be on the outside. Is it going to be Arthega Whiteside, or is it going to be any combination of Deontay Burnett or Robert Davis or who, Shelton Gibson? Probably sure you didn't hear of the last three guys that I mentioned, and that's how it is here in Philadelphia. It's the next man up mentality everywhere on this football team, besides the most important one at quarterback, which really matters. Carson Wentz finally played a full 16-game season, getting his first playoff performance. I ultimately believe that it's going to be Carson Wentz carrying this team once again, and if he plays flawless like he has the past couple games, he's going to give this chance a team to win.
I'll tell you what, I've been really impressed.
Give this team a chance to win, however I came out with that. Sorry about that.
I've been really impressed with what Doug Peterson's been able to do the last 4 or 5 weeks with this offense. When you consider all of the skill players that are out, you've got Greg Ward. You mentioned Deontay Burnett just coming in last week and giving them a boost. I mean, they're just bringing guys in off the street, and they are putting together a functional passing game. And I got to give them credit because I don't feel like they're relying on those receivers necessarily. They're using their tight ends. They're using their running backs. Boston Scott's been killing it as a receiver out of the backfield. So they've been really flexible with using their passing game around running backs and tight ends to offset the fact that they're hurting so bad at the receiver position. And then you've got guys like Greg Ward that really have come in and grown a bunch with the opportunity they've had. So the coaching staff for the Eagles as a whole deserves credit for developing those players, putting them in a position they can succeed. And of course, Carson Wentz has made the entire thing work the last 4 or 5 games. And that leads me to Seattle's pass rush, because the last couple weeks it has been completely non-existent again, even with getting Clowney back. And you mentioned Clowney being healthy. He's not healthy. I will say that right now. He's playing through a core injury that he is not close to 100%. Now, that doesn't mean he can't come in here and have an impact. He had a couple decent rushes against Jimmy Garoppolo last week, but he just doesn't seem to have the same burst that he did before he suffered the injury in the first matchup against the 49ers in Week 10. And I look back at that Week 12 matchup. It was really the last game that the Seahawks pass rush had life. They were getting to Carson Wentz early and often in that game. Ziggy Ansah had 1.5 sacks, almost had 2.5. He lost one sack because of a defensive holding penalty in the secondary, but he had a monster game, easily his best game as a Seahawk. He's been hit and miss for them this year. Clowney didn't even play in that game. The interior, Jaron Reed, was out for half the game with an ankle sprain. He's healthy, ready to go. So you feel like, looking at the guys they've got available to them, even with Clowney not being 100%, especially if Lane Johnson is not able to play, they're already going to be without Brandon Brooks. to me, this is kind of one of those cases. You mentioned in that first matchup, if we can't move the ball on the Seahawks defense, then we don't have a chance. If the Seahawks can't get any pressure on Carson Wentz in this game, there's no excuse. They should be able to get to him like they did last time with the offensive line that's in front. Lane Johnson plays, that changes things a little bit, but still, the Seahawks should have the talent advantage there, and they got Shaquem Griffin to rush off the edge. He had a really good game against the Eagles in the situational third down and long, second down and long pass rushing options. I just look at the talent they've got, and this is a game they should be able to take advantage of that Philadelphia Eagles offensive line with all the injuries they've got. And if they're not able to do that, then they don't deserve to advance to the second round. That's just the brash honesty here. If you can't get pressure on Carson Wentz and force him into some of the turnovers that you did the first time around, you let him sit back there, he is going to pick you apart whether Quandre Diggs plays or not, and that plays right into the home team's hands in a game that, if I'm a Seahawks fan, I'm certainly worrying about with the way the defense has played as of late.
That's the one thing you do not want to allow to have Carson, is to be able to be free back there and have time in the pocket, because that's when he can do things. And if you watch the touchdown pass to Josh Perkins last week, it was a route that took about 3.5 seconds to develop. And if you give Carson time, he will find the open man, and he's been doing that the last four games especially well. He's not been forcing the ball like he did in that first Seattle game, and that's what attributed to those two interceptions. I mean, it's just a running joke in the Eagles community that anytime the defense like lets up a big touchdown and they go down two scores, it's, oh, Carson's going to force the football. And sure enough, 9 times out of 10, he would throw a late-game interception when it was just unnecessary. He hasn't been doing that. He's just taking what is given to him. He's taking the check down if it's there. They've been doing great things in the screen game, not just with the running backs, but their tight ends. Dallas Goedert has been super efficient on tight end screens all year long. And if Zach Ertz plays, he's not going to be 100%. If Lane Johnson plays, he's not going to be 100%. It's going to be on those guys that are 100%, the Dallas Goedert's, the Boston Scott's. Another guy, Miles Sanders, if he plays, he's not going to be 100%. So now you have these guys that are the next men up that once again have to step up and, out of all games, a wild card game against the Seattle Seahawks and a quarterback like Russell Wilson. It's going to be a tough test, but I think you made an interesting point saying that if you can just let Wentz pick you apart, you don't deserve to advance. And it kind of goes to the ideology that I believe Philly is playing with house money right now, and this is Seattle's game to lose, if it's in my opinion. Because Seattle right now, they have the team. They went out and got Clowney before the year. This to me seems like a game that Seattle should win and try to get out for another game against the Niners. I would love to see that if it happens, but we'll see come Sunday. But Seattle, a lot of pressure is going to be on them coming into that building. If you agree with me, I would love to hear your take on it.
I do agree with you. It goes exactly what I said there. I mean, to me, this is a game the Seahawks should win, but there are some reasons to be concerned. And the primary thing is certainly the injuries. You mentioned all the Eagles players that could be playing that are less than 100%. Seattle's defense is going to be in a similar situation with Clowney playing at well below 100%. If Diggs plays in this game, he's not 100%. So they're going to be playing with some guys out there that are just going to be trying to gut it out. It's going to come down to the players that are healthier to step up and get the job done. They need Bobby Wagner to go out and play like the all-pro that he is. They need their two corners. Shaquem Griffin played pretty poorly for the most part against the 49ers on Sunday night, his first game back from hamstring injury. They need him to play like the Shaquem Griffin that was here the first 12 or 13 games of the season, that was getting some all-pro buzz. He was playing that well. Coming back from the injury, did not look good the other night. Made a couple good tackles late in the game, but he missed a bunch of tackles as well. They need those other players to step up. This is not a game where they can afford their corners. I don't care how banged up the Eagles receivers are. You cannot afford to have your corners playing sloppy football out there, especially with how the Eagles have been doing a good job mixing in the running backs and tight ends in the passing game. Those corners are going to feel some pressure. They've got to be able to step up and play well in this football game. So I do think the pressure is on the Seahawks, even after losing 3 out of 4 games. I think that just adds to the pressure. You start off 10-2 and you end up falling to 11-5. The pressure is on this team to go out and prove that quick start wasn't a fluke, and they're still able to turn things around, especially since Russell Wilson's leading this team. He's going to be carrying them, but the defense has got to do enough to allow the Seahawks the opportunity to win the game. So the pressure is certainly on those guys. After a quick break, we're going to switch things up. We're going to talk Russell Wilson and the Seahawks offense against Fletcher Cox and the Eagles defense. We'll be right back here on Crossover Wednesday on the Locked On Podcast Network. Welcome back to Crossover Wednesday on the Locked On Podcast Network. This is Corbin Smith of Locked On Seahawks teaming up with Gino Camilleri of Locked On Eagles, continuing to break down Sunday's wild card rematch in Philadelphia. Last quarter, we looked at the Eagles offense, which has been humming the last four games behind Carson Wentz against the Seahawks defense that hasn't been playing so hot the last couple of games and will be looking to get back into their groove to start the playoffs. Now we're going to switch gears. Russell Wilson and the Seahawks offense going up against an Eagles defense that has also been playing a little bit better during this four-game win streak. And so another matchup that maybe playing with house money, the Eagles are in good position maybe to slow down a Seahawks offense that honestly, Gino, they have been slumping a bit, throwing the football the last 4 or 5 weeks, though they did seem to snap out of it in the second half against the 49ers. Out of necessity, ended up making that a really interesting game, almost won in the closing seconds. Tyler Lockett is much healthier than the first time these teams played. He was coming off a shin injury, didn't look right, only had one catch, and it was late in the game. He's been playing much better, like his old self. DK Metcalf had a strong game week 17. He wants to improve upon the tough outing he had against Philly in week 12. A couple missed opportunities on big plays. The wind was certainly a factor, but he needed to make those catches. How concerned are you when you look at the Eagles dealing with the Seahawks' top two receiving targets going into this rematch?
Very. I mean, if you're going to throw the ball on the Philadelphia Eagles, you have a chance to put up big points, especially with a quarterback who can put the ball just about anywhere like Russell Wilson can. And having a speed receiver in Tyler Lockett and having a guy that can separate like DK Metcalf is huge against these Eagles corners. But the good news is that one of the corners that played the last time, Ronald Darby, is going to be out for this game. Unfortunately, it is due to injury, but the corners have played, I would say, better since he has been out. He put up poor performances several games in a row until he finally went out for injury, but they have a rejuvenated Sidney Jones that hopefully will get more playing time even with Mills playing come Sunday. He also won't be 100%. It's just everybody on this team isn't 100%, but you have to win games banged up in January when it counts. Rasul Douglas is the one that really scares me because he's been a guy, my co-host Lou loves him to death. He's just been up and down the past 2 months playing football. He's just gone back to his rookie-type habits. He's been very handsy, and he's a guy that doesn't have long speed and can get burned if he doesn't get his hands on a receiver at the line of scrimmage. So Lockett, I expect him to be on Rasul Douglas' side a lot if they keep him in the game and don't take him out for Sidney Jones, because Jones can run. Mills can't run, and either can Rasul Douglas. So if you have guys that can get downfield, I don't know why Seattle didn't try to throw it more down the field the last game, and I'm sure it has to do with that Tyler Lockett injury. But if he's 100% like you say he is, I can see him going for at least a buck 10 against this secondary. It's not been great still. They're not great at making tackles in the open field. According to Pro Football Outsiders, they're in like the bottom third for open field tackle percentage efficiency. It's just bad when they have to make things happen in space. They just have poor linebackers. Their safeties have taken some awful routes on guys in space, or awful angles on guys in space this season. But the thing that Seattle likes to make their money on, and which they did the last time we played in the run game, is probably going to be a little different this time around. I can't see them rushing for nearly 200 yards like they did the last go-around, especially without Penny and Carson. If this Eagles team is going to win, they're going to have to stuff the run early and often to get them to be in a pass-happy mentality, but to where they can put their defense into favorable matchups. Because if you have to load the box and you can get eight guys down and have those Eagles corners on an island, you're going to win. They cannot cover. They don't have good man covering corners. But if you allow this Eagles defense to stop the run with a 5 and 6 man boxes, and you can allow them to drop guys into coverage, that's when they play well. And you've seen that the last couple weeks when they've gotten out to leads. They really slowed down Saquon Barkley a majority of the game outside his long touchdown run. It's a team that it all starts with the guys up front. And they've gotten to the quarterback last week. They hit Daniel Jones a boatload. They sacked him four times. They caused a huge fumble to get them at the two-yard line after they recovered it, and they go in for an easy score. They have to get to Russell Wilson, and they have to win the turnover battle. And that requires Carson Wentz not turning it over, and it requires this defense to make plays, because this defense struggles to get off the field on third downs. They struggle to get off the field on fourth down. They need a big turnover. I know they're going to have to do something in the middle of this game when things are close to getting out of hand and turn it around for this team, because the Eagles' offense, as much as I say they have Carson Wentz, there are a lot of pieces that are missing there. The defense has a lot of fresh guys that have come on late after injuries, like Tim Jernigan, who's been playing very well. Derek Barnett had probably one of the best games I've seen him play, and they have a lot of starters that are still there from the beginning of the season. It's just, can we get to Russell Wilson? Can we win the turnover matchup? And can we just not get burned on the back end, which I have nightmares of the idea of Tyler Lockett running a slant and go and just being off for a 80-yard touchdown. I just, it's inevitable that it happens.
You know, it's funny because you mentioned several things there that I would like to hit on. I'll discuss running game here in a little bit, but you're talking about the pass rush. That was really the big reason why the Seahawks were not able to take some of the shots that you would expect they would against the secondary. Russell Wilson got sacked six times in that first matchup in Week 12, and it wasn't always that defensive line. Malcolm Jenkins had two sacks where, as Pete Carroll explained, he wasn't even coming on the blitz. It was just instincts where he just decided to come on a delayed blitz. And both times ended up getting to Russell Wilson. So I'm concerned about that front line, especially with the fact that Duane Brown, they're holding out slim hopes he may be able to play in this game. I don't think he's going to play. I think they're going to have George Fant in there at left tackle. Now, George Fant looked really good against the 49ers the other night. I think he had the best game of any of their offensive linemen. He held up well in pass protection, working against Nick Bosa and company. I thought he did a really nice job. He showed off his former college basketball athleticism, getting outside and lead blocking for Travis Homer, and I thought he had a great game. This is going to be another stiff test, though, against an Eagles team that, if there's one area where they're still pretty loaded, it's that defensive line. They've lost a few pieces, but they've still got a lot of talent up front there. So that would be the concern for me. Are they going to be able to get Russell Wilson enough time where he's able to get those downfield shots? And when they do get them, can they capitalize? Going back to DK Metcalf again, last time these two teams played, there were three different times that Russell Wilson threw it downfield to him, and it looked like a potential big play. One of them went right through Metcalf's hands. Another one, the wind looked like it toyed with, and he ended up losing track of it and misjudged the ball as it was coming down. And then there was another one, Wilson just slightly overthrew him. If they would have hit on one or two of those plays, we're talking about a potential blowout, because I think all three of those could have been touchdowns. Metcalf had separation on his defender, so they had a few opportunities that they missed out on they normally wouldn't. So it was a tale of two different things. One, Russell Wilson not having enough time to be able to take advantage of those matchups on the outside. And when he did, they did hit on the Malik Turner flea flicker touchdown. But otherwise, the big plays in the passing game, they just weren't able to quite execute as they normally do. So we'll see how the weather factors in. It sounds like we could have another game with quite a bit of wind, which would play into Philadelphia's advantage as far as I'm concerned, because it takes Russell Wilson's passing game maybe and affects it a little bit in a negative way. And certainly with the Seahawks backfield situation right now, that would benefit Philadelphia. And I want to talk about that backfield situation, because you already mentioned it. The Eagles actually had some trouble. This is a run defense that really has been one of the best in football this year from a consistency standpoint. The Seahawks had almost 200 yards rushing against them in Week 12, though. That being said, Rashad Penny had 129 of those yards. He tore his ACL a couple weeks later, so he is out for the year. He will not be playing in this game. Chris Carson has a hip injury. He's on injured reserve as well. So now it's beast mode season with Marshawn Lynch coming out of retirement, coming off his couch to run the football, and rookie Travis Homer, who looked pretty darn good the other night against the 49ers. Two totally different backs, beast mode, is still looking to run over people, has light feet still for a 33-year-old, doesn't have the explosiveness, top-line speed, that's not going to be there anymore, but still a serviceable running back, looked pretty solid the other night in his first game back. And then you got Travis Homer, a really explosive rookie out of Miami, a sixth-round pick that looked pretty darn good, like I said, in that first start for him. So you look at their skill sets, which back concerns you the most going into this game if you're the Eagles' defense?
I'd have to 100% say Travis Homer, because if you can stretch this defense out, you can make guys miss in space, and Homer has that explosiveness, and he's a pretty good athlete at that running back position. I liked him coming out of college. He's really a guy that in Philadelphia we needed a running back, and I was thinking, who is a late-round guy that has that explosiveness? And you've seen it early on from Travis Homer. Marshawn Lynch clearly doesn't have that, but he's a very patient runner. He will hit the hole if it is there. But the thing is, the Eagles just, they've been erasing holes the last couple weeks. Fletcher Cox, Brandon Graham, Vinnie Curry, especially Tim Jernigan, of all people, have really turned it on in the run game. Outside of that long run to Saquon, I think 12 of his first runs, he was under 5 yards a rush. Like, he couldn't even get past 5 yards. They were just doing things last week to an offensive line of the Giants, who is, I would say, from a skill set and overall talent-wise, is probably not as good as Seattle, but I'd say it's a relatively close comparison, especially with Brown being out, and you said that Fant will be in for them. If the Eagles' front can get there, especially with four, and they're allowed to drop guys into coverage, that's how you can win this game defensively. But they can stop Marshawn Lynch. I don't know if you can stop Homer, especially in the pass game, because this team, look at what the Patriots have done the last couple times they've played us. They've just eaten us alive with running back screens, and Homer is a guy that you want to get him out in space. You want to get him outside the hashes. That's where you can beat this Eagles team. I am petrified of the idea of Travis Homer getting open into the open field, because there were some runs last week. He was looking for the end zone, and there were a few times I thought he was just going to pop one off, and I could absolutely see that happening this week.
Who would have thought we'd be entering a wild card playoff game and we'd be talking about being petrified about Travis Homer, who didn't even have a carry until week 13, and that was on a fake punt, which he looked really good on, a 29-yard gain. He's certainly an explosive athlete. My only thing, looking back at that first matchup between these two teams, Rashad Penny broke that 58-yard touchdown run. Mm-hmm. That was a between-the-tackles run.
Absolutely.
And the big difference maker there between him and Carson didn't have a great game, but Rashad Penny just has that extra gear that he can turn on. I think Travis Homer is of the same profile. He is a guy that if he finds space, he can turn on the turbo button like he's got an Xbox controller in his hand, and he can just take off and he can burn you. And there were a couple runs last week where I thought, man, if he just had a teeny bit more room, he might be gone. So it's weird saying that with a guy that didn't get many opportunities, actually none until week 13, and now he's going to be their workhorse back. And I'm expecting, going off what you said, I am expecting a better, more prepared Marshawn Lynch in this second game because he's had a second week to practice with the team. A lot of people were saying, well, he should know the playbook. Well, Daryl Bevel's not the coordinator anymore. It's the same style offense, but different terminology. Give him another week. He's in good shape coming out of that first game. Give another week to keep getting his legs under him. I could see Marshawn Lynch being a guy, I don't care who the defense is, I don't care how old he is, you could still tell that the 49ers are like, ooh, this might be a business decision for me. I don't know if I want to bring my hard hat and try to tackle Marshawn Lynch. And so that's certainly something that I think is going to be a factor in this game. I think Homer's, his style, his speed is going to be an issue for the Eagles, but I wouldn't discount that Marshawn Lynch can have some success against them too, given the fact that he is still a monster to bring down, and I do expect that he's going to be more comfortable going into this football game. Now, let's get to predictions here real quick, Gino. Obviously, this is a huge game. Whoever loses, they're done for the season. The Eagles are red hot. Seahawks, not so much going into this game, but Seattle's still favored by 1.5 points as of the latest odds that I have seen. So Seattle's the favorite on the road. Let's get your thoughts here on who's going to win this football game and advance to the divisional round the following weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. I believe that if the Eagles can take care of the football, it will be a much closer game. If Carson just gets into forcing the football and he does have another two-interception game, I don't think it's close. I think it could be like a 17-point game, a 27-10 type game. But I expect this Eagles team, with the way that they've been playing, with the heart that they've been playing with, they do well in these runs that they've gotten on in the last three seasons. I really believe that they can come out and put up a test against this Seattle team. Do I think they win? I don't know. I don't like picking the Eagles. I haven't had a good history picking them. I say it's a close game, like 24-23, somewhere around what Vegas is saying with that line. I think ultimately it comes down to a late game drive from either one of these quarterbacks and puts them in a field position to where somebody could kick a game-winning field goal. It's going to be close. These teams always seem to play fun games. I'm super excited to see Carson in his first playoff game, especially against a guy of the caliber of Russell Wilson.
It's going to sound crazy because I don't think I have picked the Seahawks to win by more than 10 this season at any point. There maybe was one time this year that I picked them to win. And this is a game that when I've been looking at the matchup, and especially coming off the fact the Seahawks have lost three games in their last four, I looked at this matchup and thought, you know what? You have to go to the same team's field twice and try to beat them two different times on their own turf. The Seahawks are 1-6 in rematch games the last 2 years. So everything is pointing, with the injuries too, it's pointing to the Seahawks having a ton of trouble in this game and potentially getting knocked out, being one and done. But I don't know what it is with Quandre Diggs. I just think Quandre Diggs being on the field, even if he's not 100%, I think with his ability to get guys lined up defensively, everybody's going to be playing faster. They're going to be more confident. And I think Marshawn Lynch is going to look better out there. I like what they've got on the outside. I think the Seahawks are going to make enough adjustments there. They can get some vertical plays downfield. If the weather really wreaks havoc, that could change things. But I don't know why I feel this way, because I all week have been thinking it's going to be a close game. But I get the Seahawks winning this one 31-17. I think it's going to be a game in the first half is going to be close, and I just have a feeling that Russell Wilson's going to turn it on in the second half. I think the Eagles are going to commit a couple turnovers at some point. It might not even be on Wentz. Maybe it's a fumble by one of the receivers or a running back, but I just have a feeling the Seahawks have not been able to force a turnover the last two games. I think that streak is going to end this weekend, especially with Quandre Diggs out there. They're going to have Clowney in the lineup. I think there's going to be a couple key turnovers that are going to turn a game that was pretty close. I think it's going to turn it Seattle's direction. Philadelphia is going to give a gutsy effort, but I don't know what it is. I just have a feeling with Diggs being back in the lineup, that's how much he matters to this defense. If you look at the stats, the five games he started, this has been a totally different unit with him on the field. I just think him being out there is going to provide a lift for that defense. They're going to play better. They're going to be able to get a little more of a pass rush, especially if Lane Johnson doesn't play. They're not going to have Brandon Brooks up front. So I think the Eagles are going to give a really valiant effort. They're going to be right in the game. I just think late the Seahawks are going to have a few things go their way, and they're going to be able to advance to the divisional round for a grudge match with the 49ers. That being said, there's a reason Seahawks fans are nervous about this game. Philadelphia is playing really good football, so they can't go here and think they've got it made, or they will be packing their bags up the next day in the locker room, and it's on to 2020. So I think this is going to be a really exciting game. I'm looking forward to it. Two teams that are familiar with one another, but yet they're not, because there's so many new faces out there for both teams. Should be one heck of a game. Really looking forward to it.
Absolutely, and just the historical on this with Pete Carroll being 5-0, the Eagles doing well in these first round games the last couple of years, especially as underdogs. What you said in that segment just got me thinking about what this team was being said coming into the 2017 playoffs against Atlanta. They were underdogs. Everybody was saying that it's a high potent offense. Ryan had his boys going right, and a lot of people expected them to get blown out, but they put up a valiant effort at the link. They allowed nearly half as many points on the road as they do at home. So hopefully this defense could step up. But man, I just love seeing good football. I had a prediction before the year that the Eagles and Seahawks would meet in the NFC Championship two rounds prior to where I thought they would meet, but we got the prediction right. It's going to be fun come Sunday. Ultimately, if the Eagles lose, they were playing with house money. If they win, we'll see what happens. But man, if they lose, you better go on the road and beat the Niners, because you guys, you're going to have it. You're going to be rolling. You're going to beat a hot Eagles team. You go in there, win that grudge match, and
Everybody wants to see a third matchup after the way the first two have gone. Absolutely. Yeah, I was talking with the Locked On NFL guys earlier today, and they were like, well, I don't know if we want a third match because my heart might not be able to take it. But
right.
It would be exciting. Nonetheless, I mean, the Eagles are not going to be going to this game thinking, oh, man, the Seahawks, we fear them. They're going to be ready to go. They're going to be ready to play. So
for
it should be a good wild card playoff game in the city of brotherly love. Gino, where can everybody find your work?
Absolutely. You can find the mothership at Locked On Birds. You can find my co-host at DBICLOE. You can find myself on Twitter at Gino_LOE. You can always find us on the Locked On Podcast Network at LockedOnEagles.com. And especially coming up with draft season, I don't know if you will be at the Senior Bowl, Corbin, but I will be there, and I plan on putting as much information out there for our fans about what's going on in Mobile. So whoever wants to follow along with my Mobile, my first time down there, I'll be trying to get as much information on these draftees as possible. But we have a football game to be played well before that come Sunday, and I'm excited. Thank you for having me on, Corbin. It's always a blast talking with you.
It is. These couple shows we've done crossover with Locked On Eagles, Locked On Seahawks have been a blast. You can follow me on Twitter at Corbin Smith NFL. You can also follow our show at Locked_Seahawks. You can visit our website that's associated, SeahawkMaven.io, through Sports Illustrated. You can see all of our articles, film breakdowns, all that stuff online. Make sure to check it out. Tons of playoff content going into this game. As always, thanks for listening. Enjoy the rest of your week.